But neither does anything else. The cranium keeps expanding. It's never fully closed. The arms and legs, longer and longer. So when they reach adult height, there is no adult height. There's just height at the time of death. You can't keep growing like that forever. There's a reason why evolution builds a stop clock into the growth control of long-lived bodies. You can't keep growing without some organ giving out eventually. Usually the heart. The implications filled Sister Carlotta with dread.
And the rate of this growth? In the children, I mean? How long until they are at normal height for their age?
My guess was that they'd catch up twice, said Valescu. Once just before puberty, and then the normal kids would leap ahead for a while. But slow and steady wins the race, n'est-ce pas? By 20, they would be giants. And then they'd die, almost certainly before age 25. Do you have any idea how huge they would be? So my killing them, you see. It was a mercy.
I doubt any of them would have chosen to miss out on even the mere 20 years you took from them.
They never knew what happened to them. I'm not a monster. We drugged them all. They died in their sleep, and then the bodies were incinerated.
What about puberty? Would they ever mature sexually?
That's the part we'll never know, isn't it?
Sister Carlotta got up to go.
He lived, didn't he? Asked Valescu.
Who?
The one we lost. The one whose body wasn't with the others. I counted only 22 going into the fire.
When you worship Moloch, Dr. Valescu, you get no answers but the ones your chosen god provides.
Tell me what he's like.
His eyes were so hungry. You know it was a boy?
They were all boys, said Valescu.
What, did you discard the girls? How do you think I got the genes I worked with? I implanted my own altered DNA into denucleated eggs.
God help us. They were all your own twins?
I'm not the monster you think I am, said Valescu. I brought the frozen embryos to life because I had to know what they would become. Killing them was my greatest sorrow.
And yet you did it, to save yourself.
I was afraid. And the thought came to me, they're only copies. It isn't murder to discard the copies.
Their souls and lives were their own.
Do you think the government would have let them live? Do you really think they would have survived, any of them?
You don't deserve to have a son, said Sister Carlotta.
But I have one, don't I? He laughed. While you, Miss Carlotta, perpetual bride of the invisible god, how many do you have?
They may have been copies, Valescu, but even dead they're worth more than the original. He continued laughing as she walked down the corridor away from him, but it sounded forced. She knew his laughter was a mask for grief. But it wasn't the grief of compassion, or even of remorse. It was the grief of a damned soul.
Bean.
God be thanked, she thought, that you do not know your father, and never will. You're nothing like him. You're far more human. In the back of her mind, though, she had one nagging doubt. Was she sure Bean had more compassion, more humanity? Or was Bean as cold of heart as this man, as incapable of empathy? Was he all mind? Then she thought of him growing and growing, from this too tiny child to a giant whose body could no longer sustain life. This was the legacy your father gave you. This was Anton's key. She thought of David's cry when he learned of the death of his son, Absalom. O Absalom, would God I could die for thee, Absalom my son. But he was not dead yet, was he? Valescu might have been lying, might simply be wrong. There might be some way to prevent it. And even if there was not, there were still many years ahead of Bean, and how he lived those years still mattered. God raises up the children that he needs, and makes men and women of them, and then takes them from this world at his good pleasure. To him, all of life is but a moment. All that matters is what that moment was used for. And Bean would use it well. She was sure of that. Or, at least she hoped it with such fervor that it felt like certainty.